You are now listening to the Two Dads Run podcast, just two dads who run, talking about running and being dads and some other stuff.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Two Dads Run podcast. This is Kevin.
And this is Gray.
Gray, what is going on, man? Another week. How's it going? What you been up to?
Yeah, man. Another week in the books. Just crazy, crazy busy with work. Obviously being short staffed like everybody else in the planet right now. And a crazy week of training. But it's been good. Went on a long bike ride over the weekend. Did about 35 miles. Definitely much needed. So I went with Chad and his buddy Rick. And man, I'll tell you, it was awesome. I think it was really good for me because they are such seasoned cyclists and triathletes that it was kind of a situation where it was either suck it up and keep up and get comfortable on that bike in a hurry, or you're going to be by yourself. So that, I think that was really good for me. I think I really needed that. I had not been on the road for a while. I had just been doing the trainer thing in the garage. So that was awesome. We kept a pretty solid pace. It was hot. I think we did right around 35 miles at a little over 19 miles an hour average pace. So pretty good, right? So I got to a new top speed, a little over 31 miles an hour on a little.
I saw that. So did you go down? Obviously you went down a downhill at some point.
Yeah.
I was not on the flat.
No. But that was the fastest I had been.
How'd that feel?
It was good.
You get nervous? Were you in the aero position? Or
Well, and that's the thing. I spent probably 90% of that ride in the aero.
Look at you.
Giant leap forward for me there.
Becoming a big boy.
Yeah. So then we actually ended up going back out again on Tuesday. And same thing. We went a little over 21 miles. Again, above 19 miles an hour. And it felt so much easier than the day before, than the session before, and actually got to 36 miles an hour on a downhill at one point.
Nice.
So I chickened out on one and grabbed the brake because it was really pretty bumpy. So I was like, nope, and bailed out of that one. And Chad was kind of giving me some shit for it, but he was like, man, you would have definitely beat your top speed had you not bailed out. I was like, oh, you saw that, huh? But no, that was really cool. My swim on Sunday was a complete disaster. So I think I needed that.
But you did it though.
I did it.
You didn't miss any workout. Last time we connected, you had
I have not. Yeah, I have not missed a single workout since then. So I fought, I fought through that swim hard. It was brutal. I had not been training at all. I was just gassed. Even after my warm up. My heart rate was through the roof. And I was like, what the hell is happening? But it's fine. We got through it. My swim on Wednesday was fine. So all's well.
Cool.
How about you?
Training is actually in full gear. Swim, bike, run has been great. The swim I had the other day was pretty cool. I didn't get a chance to do it in the morning, but had an opportunity to break away from work around lunchtime, and nobody was in the pool and it was hot and sunny, but that was probably my best swim. I mean, everything felt like it was clicking. So training's going well. I mean, same thing with you. Everything's been busy, work, life, training, podcasts, just had the girls swim meet again, their second swim meet today, which was neat. The tables turn a little bit on the girls today. Last week, Farah won her heats and Finley, I mean, it's all about having fun, but Finley last week ended up getting second and third places in her heats. But this week, Finley actually got the blue ribbons, the heat winner. So
nice.
So it's neat to see
the girls.
I mean, and it doesn't matter if it's a heat winner or participant. I know in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, participant ribbon. But nothing beats seeing those girls being happy and smiling and the pictures that we got with their friends. So it's cool. One of the neat things today, though, the race at the end was actually the parents versus the swim coaches. And the swim coaches are studs. I mean, they swim in college, and they teach the kids and they're really, really good. And they're on the elite swim team, but you had a bunch of middle-aged men out there.
Bro, you gonna stop referring to me as middle-aged? I'm serious.
There's actually, I probably was the youngest one out there, and I'm 39. All so, right. they needed a couple other parents to sign up, and Adria asked. I'm like, you know, this is cool. The girls will see their dad swim, and this was today, and I went up. Said it and asked, like, hey, you guys need another swimmer? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. We need an anchor. I'm like, I didn't want to be the anchor because I know these who we're going up against, and I didn't want to be the last guy in there and get the slow clap
pressure.
And so I'm like, all right, I'll do it. And the race was fun.
How far did you have to swim?
It was only 25.
Oh, okay.
And so it was, so the coaches did the IM relay, so fly back breast free. And then there was two lanes, so two teams of the adults, and the free. So I was the anchor. So then the freestyle ended up going against the girl, one of the coaches. I mean, she's probably 20 years old, and she had a full length head start. I'm like, oh my goodness! Like, hurry up to the guy that was coming to touch the wall. And as soon as he touched the wall, I jumped in, and she ended up winning. I mean, she was a beast in the pool, but caught up a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was fun, but I had a Charlie horse. I got a Charlie horse the moment I jumped off and my right leg seized up. And I'm like, I'm not going to just stop here. So my right leg went completely numb and my whole calf of just that muscle, I could visualize it turning and almost going upside down. It hurt. So I'm kicking with my left leg the entire time. And this is all because of a kid's fun relay. And I'm just super damn competitive. And yeah, it came second.
Well, that's a pretty fun story.
So, yeah. So yeah. That was tonight. But that was tonight. And then I was definitely looking forward to, you know, our next guest, which has been really neat to try and, you know, to set this up and how it really kind of came about, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So our guest today our guest for this week's show is someone we met in Baltimore that we both had a really fun time chatting with, you know, just kind of getting to know her a little bit. And we think you guys are really going to love this episode. She's a lot of fun, really loves running. And without further ado, let's check it out.
Yeah. Ooh, let's go. Wait. Hello, Q. Yeah, I feel like I'm at the tippy top of my game, looking down at the rafters. I had to sun these boys, can't leave them bastards. A lot of dudes, just some undercover.
All right, guys, so welcome back. So last week we talked a lot about our trip to Baltimore and some of the awesome people that we met. Well, this week's guest is one of those people. She was, quite frankly, one of the coolest people that we met while we were there. It was really awesome chatting with her and kind of getting to know her a little bit by the famous Believe in the Run shoe wall. And you will really be hard pressed to find someone that is more passionate about running than she is. She's built something really cool and special with her blog, her newsletter, and her Instagram account that is just chock full of really, really great running content. A lot of you may know her best as Fueled by LOLs, but joining us this week, we have Holly. How are you, Holly?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing great. Good to see you so soon since we last, I guess, saw you. You know, it was only about 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know,
but it's gone by so fast. And now you're back home out west, out in California.
Totally. Yeah, it doesn't feel like it was like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, oh yeah, like yesterday in Baltimore. And I'm like, oh no, that was like early in the month.
Yeah, so you got to, while you were out this way, you got to spend a little time with family, right? Where's your family at now?
So I grew up in Chesapeake, Virginia, which is like Virginia Beach area, and they're all still down there.
So Gray and I had an opportunity to talk to you quite a bit at the infamous shoe wall there at the Believe in Run HQ. And then even, and since then, you know, your story's been great, and Gray and I both had an awesome time just reading up about your blogs and the things that you're doing. But, Holly, would you just kind of, you know, tell us a little about yourself?
Cool. Yeah. So I grew up as a swimmer. I was terrible at running. And like, there's like a meme that goes around that says like, you faked being sick in middle school to get out of running the mile. I literally did that. Like, I hated running so much. And then, so I swam in high school. I actually swam in college too. And then you guys can relate, like swimming is so boring. You're like staring at a black line, and I just got really bored of it. And then, so senior year of college, I just quit swimming. Like, I was like, I'm done with this. My parents were thrilled, but I went to a D3 school. So it wasn't like I was losing a scholarship or anything. And I decided, you know what, like, I'm going to try and run. But I didn't tell my parents because my dad is actually really good at running. So I was like kind of embarrassed, and I didn't even think he would believe that I was like starting to run. And so my college in upstate New York had like a 5K where you got a free long sleeve t-shirt. And like, everyone has so many short sleeve t-shirts, but like, long sleeve cotton t-shirts are truly the best. Like, they are the best type of t-shirt.
I don't think I own a single one, actually.
Yeah, right? Like, no races ever have long sleeve cotton. They either have like short sleeve cotton or like technical fabric that usually at races isn't even that great. But long sleeve cotton is the best, and it was free. You just had to finish the 5K. And so I ran the 5K, and like, I hadn't run in since like middle school gym class. Like, I literally hadn't run at all.
No training.
No, like, not even like, I'm going to go jog a mile. Like, I did not run, like, no steps at all. And I ran in like 24 minutes or something like that. I'm like, wow. Like, that's like so fast. Like, I thought I was like the coolest person. I'm like, wow, I'm going to text my dad. I'm going to text everyone I knew. And so then I started running like off and on. Like, I didn't run when it was bad weather. And in upstate New York, there's lots of those days. And I just ran when it was like super sunny and super nice. And I ran like 2-3 miles. But I wasn't hooked. I wasn't like one of those people that was like, okay, I'm going to sign up for all these races. Like, I'm going to do things. I just kind of like ran off and on until probably that summer. So summer before my senior year. And then I ran another 5K, and this is like, I had been running probably 20 miles a week, if that, and I ran like 21 minutes or something like that. It was like something like, I was like so impressed, and it was like a respectable, like fast 5K for like not ever running, or it's a fast 5K anyway. And then that summer, I sent my D3 college coach, cross country coach, we didn't have track. I sent him an email, and it was like, hey, like, I've really started getting into running. Like, I would be perfect for this team. Like, I'm really good at sports. Like, I literally said, I'm really good at sports, which is like such a lie because all I could do is swim. And he was like, yeah, sure. Like, we're a D3 school. Like, we just need 5 people to cross the start line, in the which was true. We were the worst in the conference. Like, we were literally the last place. And so I ran senior year of college, and it wasn't intense at all. Like, it was exactly what I needed. Like, my coach was like, this is just what you do with running. Like, he taught me like basically the basics of running. And it, like, I was, when I say we were the worst in the conference, like, with time didn't matter. Like, we just needed 5 people to cross the start and finish line. And so that's kind of how I fell in love with running. Like, I just like, it was like so casual, unlike my swimming experience, which was like super intense all of the time, like having a coach yell at you all the time, where like running was just like, oh, like, I'll do what I do.
Well, it looks like a lot. By the looks of the whole display you got behind you there, it looks like the running thing has stuck around and is going pretty well.
Compared to the background, they can't see.
I understand that this is not a visual medium, but Holly has this giant collection of medals and trophies and everything behind her. And meanwhile, behind us on the screen here is Kevin's one little sad Iron Man.
No, that's awesome. Like, don't, that's awesome.
I've got a shelf.
Yeah, over here does. He has a shelf.
I'm in my guest room right now, and I stuff it all in there, so it's like not like cluttered around the house.
Well, that's quite the class. So, how many races are you doing a year now?
Well, so with the pandemic, I've done, since the pandemic started, I've done three. But usually, like, I would be the person that would race every weekend, like 5Ks, or I wouldn't race a half marathon every weekend because I'd hurt myself. But yeah, like, I'd race like a 5K every weekend because, like, I just like to see my friends, like all my friends back in New Jersey, like I'd see everyone. So it was like more of a social hour for me, I think.
So have you gone full marathon, or are we stopping at halves or what?
I've done four marathons. I had to even think about it. I've done four marathons, and three of them have been New York City. So it's like hard for me to like, I didn't enjoy them. That's the thing. Like, I don't enjoy the training because I think it's too much. And I don't enjoy the race because the race is painful. And usually I'm like seeing stars by like mile 22. And so like, I just don't enjoy marathons. And I don't know how you do Ironmans because those are too long too. So I feel like I would just like not enjoy that either.
I think my wife said there's a piece of my brain that's missing. That for me to do Ironman triathlons. And then, as you mentioned, the swimming piece, because there's a lot of swimming that's involved. So I still don't know how I do it, but yeah, I think it comes down to like with the running piece for me, just collectively, the triathlon is just, I like to take myself, my mind to a different place. It's like an escape, you know, from all maybe the stressors from just life and work. And I know I could probably do something different, but for me, it's just always been that. But
that's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm really interested. So then you finished, you became your own agent in your senior year in college, because you wrote to the coach, like, "Hey, I'm good at sports." And he's like, "It's just D3. Come on over." You know? So you had a fantastic time. You fell in love with the sport. So then what inspired you to then just start writing about, because a lot of people run, but then you just wanted to just, you know, let me just share this journey now and this passion that I have. So how did that all start? When did it start? And what keeps you going? Because you really have some awesome stuff. Even, I mean, like to today, you know, Gray and I were falling and just kind of hearing your story, but what started that passion, and what keeps you going now with the blogging especially?
So when did I graduate college? I graduated college in 2012. Thank goodness it was before like all this social media stuff. But amen. I can't even imagine, like online. I was just telling on my flight back, I was telling the kid who just graduated college, I was like, yeah, like online classes were just coming into existence when I graduated in 2012. But I started blogging when I started running, because I was like, wow, like, I don't know any runners in upstate New York, because literally there's probably five of them up there, but I don't know anyone else that runs, but like blogging is this new cool thing that I see a lot of people doing. So I'm going to do it. So I started blogging, I think it was like a Zanga or something like that. And then I just kept going with it, and it's evolved over the time. Like, I started when I was 20 and now I'm 31. So obviously I'm a completely different person, but it's like, definitely, I just enjoy it because I met so many people. Like, I met you guys, I met Believe in the Run, and I've moved what feels like a dozen times since then. And I'm always able to like connect with people. I met people when I lived up in NorCal that were like, "Oh, we follow your blog." And I was like, "I need some life advice for up here, because I don't know anything about the West Coast." So like, meeting people, I guess, like, really just keeps me going sometimes.
So you've added a lot of, you know, did it start just as a blog, maybe like a training blog, and then evolve to, as I noticed today, there's shoe reviews and gear reviews and recipes and all this. Is there any set schedule that you have, or you just do what you're feeling in terms of what the content on the blog?
So I definitely, I definitely do a lot of just what I'm feeling. And if you don't like it, you can just skip the post. Like, I don't care. I don't get offended when people are like, this is not my cup of tea. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like, doesn't bother me. But I usually do like a shoe review on Friday and then a gear review on Monday and or Wednesday. And then whatever else during the week is usually whatever else I'm feeling, really.
So, and I love that. So it's just, this is me. This is a take it or leave it type deal. But when did you start to realize, you know what, there's a lot of people that actually like to hear? Cause that's the thing. That's what's the cool part about what you mentioned about blogging. Like, we had an opportunity to meet each other and here we are, we're having this interview. So when did you realize that, you know what, this is something neat. Like there's actually people that like to hear what I have to say. And I like that because they kind of almost are depending on me now to kind of give them maybe some advice or give them maybe some pointers in running or buying something. Or, I mean, you're an animal lover, you're a cat lover, and you talk about, you know, your cats, but when did it click when you're like, oh my goodness, this is actually something cool that I got people wanting to hear more about it?
So I also, when I lived in New Jersey, I lived in New Jersey from 2013 to 20. Yeah, that's right. I also started working in a run specialty store, Run & Co. of Haddonfield. And it was probably around, I started working there 2013. It's probably around 2015. I realized like people actually were interested in my shoe reviews. Like they were like, oh, like, she actually knows what she's talking about and didn't just get this shoe for free. So she's going to tell you that it's awesome. It was probably around, yeah. So around 2016 or so.
And so the shoe review, cause where did you, again, just very curious about it. So, cause a lot of people would love to start a blog and, you know, I think that was the one neat thing too. And we've talked about already with Believe in the Run. There's a lot of people that just are interested in shoes and like hearing shoe reviews and are doing it themselves. But how did you start learning about how to give shoe reviews?
So I never like, so I like fit, I probably fit, I don't know, like 1,000 people for running shoes. Like, I'm not joking. I worked in run specialty for 7 years. I never really learned how to write a shoe review. I just kind of learned what people like, what people don't like, what's like current in the running shoe world, because there's plenty of shoes that I hate and I think are terrible, but that doesn't make them bad shoes. It just means they're not the right ones for me. And I think it's so important to kind of like look at that whole picture of like, yeah, this, like the Nike Vaporfly, that doesn't work for me. I got a stress fracture from it. But obviously it's a great shoe. Like so many people PR, so many people world records, whatever. So I guess I never really learned how to write a shoe review. I just, working in run specialty, I really just learned about shoes on like a really broad landscape.
So what are you running in? What's your shoe rotation look like now?
Oh my gosh. I probably have like, let's see. So I'm like a real fan of Asics right now. Which I wouldn't have ever said like ever before until like this year, but I really like the Magic Speed, minus it cut my foot at the Believe in the Run run, which it never has again. And it never did before. I really like the Asics carbon plated shoe. I forget what that's called. The Meta Speed Sky. There you go. Saucony Endorphin Speed 2, I really like as well. New Balance 1080 has always been like a staple for me. And then like Hoka Bondi is like my favorite, just like chunkster type of shoe. When you just like want an easy run, it's like so much shoe and you just like want an easy run. You don't care about time or pace. You just like go with it. I guess that probably sums it all up.
That's a pretty good rotation. I'm actually wearing 1080s right now.
And yeah, I remember on the shoe while you were wearing a pair.
Yeah, still wearing them now, and definitely love those Meta Speed Sky, that was the first time I had run in an ASICS in 20 years. And that was a fantastic shoe. I really loved it a lot. And I'm actually thinking about trading in the old Vaporflies for a pair of those guys. But definitely agree with you on the Endorphin Speed. Great shoe. Probably my favorite shoe. But I have to be careful because I tend to run faster than I want to go in those things. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my easy like 8.5 or 8:15 pace ends up being like a 7:45 pace, and then my coach across from me ends up yelling at me and telling me to slow down.
That's fair. What's your favorite shoe,
Kev?
You know what? The same exact statement that you made. I wore ASICs way back in the day, and then just veered away from them. But at the Believe in the Run, you know, they had the Meta Speed Skies out for demo, and you know, I was like, let me just try these guys on, put on the 11.5s, and for that 5K that we did, they were the most awesome shoe that I ran in. The unfortunate part is I never get blisters in shoes at all, but I got this gnarly one on the back of my right Achilles. It was like a big old fat caterpillar blister that I had the moment I was done. And it made me think a little bit. I was like, well, maybe these aren't the shoes, but maybe it was the sock or something I was wearing, but those actually became quickly my favorite shoes. The 1080s, the New Balance, because I have somewhat of I just felt like New Balance in general, being a taller guy, being 6'1 and 190, New Balance just seems to absorb the impact, unlike some other ones. Saucony for a while I didn't wear, but I did a 100-mile ultra not too long ago and racing in a pair of those, and they worked out well. So right now I'd say in order, ASICS, New Balance, and Sauconys are probably my top three. What about you, Gary? What's
your number? I already answered that.
I must have tuned you out. I wasn't paying attention for you.
What else is new? So Holly, so I want to backtrack to races a little bit. So we identified that you are a pretty big fan of the 5K. Don't like marathon, but what is your favorite race distance?
I would say, this is so tough. Half marathon is probably my favorite. But 5K is very close, just in a very different way.
Yeah, I think I can get down with that. Because the 5K is just, doesn't take a whole lot of thought. You just go. Right. Cause nothing, it's not, if it hurts, it's not going to hurt for that long, you know?
Totally. It's all the pain of a longer distance race in that like short 5K distance.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, I can put up with this for 10 minutes. Whereas if you're in a half or something, it's like, okay, I have 45 minutes of this suffering. So that's fair.
So you like to do a lot of reviews now, not only, so if a half is something that you like, is there a race that you recommend people doing, one that maybe you've done or one that you've seen and read about that? Yeah, that's one that I think everybody should, if they have the opportunity to do. Is there a specific half marathon out there?
So my favorite, I'm a little biased because I do know the race directors, but I also do think they do a very good job. Is the Shamrock Half in Virginia Beach. They also have a full marathon too, but I mean, they always have like, it's okay. So I must also say that like 20% of the time, the weather is actually the worst weather you've ever experienced in a race because it's March in Virginia Beach. So it's either beautiful or it's torrential downpour and like 35 degrees. But when it's beautiful, it is absolutely like, it's a gorgeous course. It finishes like at the beach. They have a tent with like beer and music and all that sort of thing. And it's just, I always think it's such a fun race.
Now, are there any races right now that you have circled on your calendar that you're just looking forward to doing?
I don't know anything about the race vibes out here because I moved here during the pandemic. I also live in the Mojave Desert. So my three like major cities to race in right now are Los Angeles, which is like 2 hours away, San Diego, which is 3 hours away, and I can bum a room off my brother who lives in San Diego. So like pre-hotel, nice. I'm just kidding. Kind of. and Las Vegas, which is 3 hours away as well. So I'm thinking of doing America's Finest Half Marathon, which is in San Diego in like mid August. And then probably I want to go back up to San Francisco in September and do the San Francisco half, which I've heard is really cool.
Ooh, take you up and down the hills of San Francisco.
I was about to say that one sounds like it could be painful.
Oh yeah. I've heard, have you guys heard of the Rebel races that are like downhill?
No, I probably have to see a picture, but no, go ahead and explain though.
So the Rebel marathon and like half marathon, they're usually like in Utah or like in a canyon or a mountain, and they literally just like run down a mountain. So you drop like 6,000 feet in a race. So you're just running downhill the whole time. And for some reason that we don't have to discuss here, they are Boston. Like you can qualify for Boston that really? Way, but you're just running downhill. But anyway, I've heard that San Francisco is like the anti-Revel race because you're just running uphill. And I lived in Napa Valley for 9 months, and I could easily get 10,000 feet of elevation gain, you know, like on Strava in a week. Like that was not a big deal for me. So I am looking forward to doing that. I think I run hills pretty decently.
That sounds cool. You when you were saying the downhill race, I'm thinking of the races that they have in England where they chase down a wheel of cheese. So there's no wheel of cheese. Have you not seen that yet? It's actually a pretty cool documentary on that on Netflix, and where they in this one town every year. Have you not seen it, Gray?
Yeah, I know.
Exactly. I mean, it's pretty interesting. If you have you, I'm guessing you haven't seen it.
I've never seen that, but like I'm going to tonight. Oh my God.
It's pretty cool. I'm pretty sure it's in England, but I say cheese. That's probably more like
Amsterdam. It's England or Scotland, one of those two.
And they just start at the top of the hill. They roll this wheel of cheese down, and it's like a men's race and a women's race. And people go running, and within 10 feet, they're like flipping their neck. And
we're talking about like a 60-degree incline. I mean, it's like it's steep. You can't possibly run all the way down it without flipping for most of it.
Oh my God.
So the Rebel races wild. Are not that. There's
no, not quite that. Cheese. There's actually some North Carolina races that are BQs out towards the mountains that are straight downhill the whole way. I was actually reading some reviews of them as I was looking at North Carolina BQ races. they're like, hey, it's downhill, but it's no joke, man. Like it running downhill is a completely different animal. And there's actually the Sir Walter running folks have a downhill mile
that they they have a lot of professional runners doing that, I think.
Yeah, so the Sir Walter Miler is coming up in
August.
August 6th, so a week from tomorrow, actually. So they got a pretty awesome field. Allie Hennis, Craig Ingles, Kevin's boy. It'll be a fun time for sure.
Are you guys watching?
Yeah, I'm planning to go.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And we had those guys, I don't know, maybe about 3 or 4 episodes on. And yeah, and Gray actually himself went out and did a pop-up miler. So for sure, I think we're going to go out and show our support.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
First time doing a mile on a track in a while. It was a lot of fun.
So that's kind of been, you know, the cool thing for us. Yeah, we got to meet those guys doing this. But so Holly, you know, with your journey and with the blog and, you know, and the following that you have, you've had an opportunity to meet a lot of interesting people along the way. Can you go through top three? And it's definitely, it doesn't have to be in any particular order, but what are the top three? Who are the top three interesting people that you've met throughout this journey, and what's made it so neat and just so memorable? And having the opportunity to speak with whomever.
Oh my gosh, this is like putting me on the spot.
I mean, if you want to say Kevin and Gray first, I mean, of course,
you guys invited me onto the podcast. No one invites me on podcasts. So you guys are number one.
We got that out of the way.
Number two, I met a when I lived in New Jersey, I knew nothing about that area at all. Like, I never lived there. I just drove through. All I knew was traffic. And I met my really good friends, Danielle and Amelia, through, I feel like it was through blogging, but I cannot confirm this, but I feel like it was. And they've since become like two of my closest friends. So I would definitely say Danielle and Amelia as number two. I can tell you my most embarrassing person I met, because that's kind of good content for you. I ran for Wazelle, the brand, for a year, and they had a Wazelle meetup like in New York City. And I am like not a city person at all. Like I cannot navigate myself at all. But anyway, so they had, Wazelle had like all the cool Wazelle athletes and like people who like the brand. This was 2014, I think. I think it was 2014. And Kate Grace was there because, you know, Fast Kate, she ran for Wazelle. And she also lived in New Jersey at the time. And we both followed each other. So we like knew who each other we were. And this was like, she was obviously very fast at that time, but she wasn't like an Olympian. This was before the 2016 Olympics. So like, she was just like talking to people and like hanging out, like, you know, like a regular person. I was like, okay, like I'm going to go talk to Kate Grace. This is going to be so cool. And she was eating a hot dog. And so like, I go up to her and I don't know why we both started laughing like hysterically, like we were both hysterically laughing, and she starts choking on the hot dog. Like she was choking on the hot dog. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I've made Kate Grace choke on a hot dog.
I've killed Kate Grace.
And like we're both laughing. I actually blogged about it too, because it was just like so ridiculous, but thankfully she was fine. Like she just like caught her breath and was fine. But like, I'll never forget, like, I made Kate Grace choke on a hot dog in 2014. Like, it could have ended so badly.
And so no Heimlich was involved?
No, thank goodness. I feel like I wouldn't even know where to start with that, which is terrible. I should definitely, like, learn.
Yeah.
So no eating hot dogs in front of you, because you'll just come up and just start making people laugh, and then you'll just walk away as they're choking on that hot dog.
I would... As a former lifeguard, I would definitely try and save anyone that was choking on a hot dog. I need to clarify that. Like, I would not leave you to just choke on a hot dog.
You know, fun, interesting facts. I definitely want to hear the next person, but, you know, doing some research, because we were in that shoe room with Michael from Atreyu at one point. Did you know that he actually had he got started by having a hot dog business? So he actually sold his hot dog restaurant business and got into the shoe business.
So
we're talking about hot dogs, but anyways, that's what came up.
I didn't know that until I listened to your podcast.
What? Yeah. No, you did.
And I was like driving. I was like driving, and I was like in DC traffic, I think. And then you were like, oh yeah, like he used to own a hot dog like store or company or something. And I was like, wait, what? Like, I've known him for so long, and he used to own a hot dog like company. I had no idea. That's awesome.
I guess she just, so tasty. I guess she just didn't stalk him properly enough, as Kevin did.
No, I'd be flattered. Actually, somebody like, hey, Kevin, you did this way back in the day. I'm like, yeah, you took some time. So hopefully, but anyway, so who's the next? Who's so that was an embarrassing one. And then, you know, what?
But I had you guys and my friend Danielle and Amelia, and then Kate Grace.
And she doubled up as embarrassing and number three. I like it.
Very cool. So go ahead, Gray. I'm definitely hogging the show.
Here. No, totally fine, dude. There's been plenty of them where I've done that. So you have rattled off at least four places that you've lived in a pretty short span. How does all of that happen?
My husband's in the Air Force. So that's kind of why we move a lot. I grew up in a Navy family, so we moved a lot then too. I went to high school in Chesapeake, Virginia. I went to college in upstate New York, in Potsdam, New York, which like no one knows where that is, but it's like 90 minutes from Lake Placid and like 8 miles, 10 miles from Canada. Like it's way up there. It's like too cold for snow up there sometimes. Like it gets to be like negative 30 without the wind.
Nope. And
yeah. It was,
nope.
That made me realize that like I hate winter time. Although I did also live in Oswego, New York, which is slightly south near Buffalo. And I had a job there. And then we lived in Texas and then New Jersey and then Northern California, and now we live in the desert of Southern California. I think they consider this Southern California. I don't even know.
So just hitting all of the extreme climates.
Right. And I like Northern California was nice. Like I'm a pretty like I don't need four seasons to be happy. I feel guilty saying that, but like I could just have spring or fall like all year round and be fine. In fact, I would be very fine with that.
Oh, come on to North Carolina. We don't really have all four. We have usually 2 weeks of spring and 2 weeks of fall. Otherwise, it's just summer. Well, I guess our fall is our winter is the equivalent to fall in most places, probably where you lived in New York, either one of those spots. But I mean, at the worst here, you're looking at low 30s and that might last for a week or so.
Oh, yeah. But you guys have like the humid summers.
Yeah,
it's bad.
Yeah, it's that part's a little rough, like a 73 dew point at 6 a.m. Yeah, it's brutal. Lots of sweatiness happening, and I'll be out there tomorrow 5:30 in the pool and then right into a run.
Oh my gosh, you're awesome.
No, I'm really not.
No, Gray's actually killing it. He's definitely back on track. No surprises as far as him skipping workouts or getting hurt or anything like this.
At least not
this
that you know of.
So, but you know, I like this. We're going, you know, it's like a ping pong going back and forth because this is, I mean, cause what I'm also cool or interested in hearing about is like how cool it is when, you know, you do get to connect with like your fans. Cause you do have fans, Holly, and the impact that you actually make. What are some of, you know, the things, and again, this is the podcast and it's about you. So feel free to share. Nobody's actually judging. This is what people want to hear. This is what we want to hear. But what are some of the ways that, you know, people have approached you and they're like, hey, Holly, you know, you don't know, but this is how you actually impacted me. What are some of the new things that you've heard, you know, over the years?
So it's so weird. I hate talking about myself. Do people say that?
But we're asking. Yeah. That's why you're here.
A lot of people have told me because like, I obviously love running, like running is a big part of my life, but it's like not everything. I like, we've all had bad runs. We've all had bad races. Like we've all had bad workouts. That's just what happens. And for me, that's like not really a big deal. Like, I'm like, okay, like time to move on with my life or my day or whatever. And people have said like, they appreciate that. Like I like to run, but I'm not like obsessed with running. Like it's just like a small part of my day and like one of my many hobbies that I have. So a lot of people, not a lot, but a few people have shared like that they just appreciate that like I don't obsess about bad races or like obsess about like I'm not like dramatic about it. Like I've had some of my worst races ever that I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I don't even think I'm going to run again, but I'm like, okay, just like, I'm just going to move forward with it and move forward with my day and like get over it. But I mean, and there's obviously, it's okay to be sad about a bad race. It's okay to like be sad you train for something, but like, it's not okay to dwell on it for like days or months or whatever afterward. And also a lot of people have said like, they appreciate that I'm just like, don't care about my paces at all. Like, I mean, I'll run easy runs at 10 minute pace, or when I ran in Northern California and I was like going up mountains, like some days I'd run like 22 minute miles and, you know, telling people, oh yeah, like I ran some, I walked some, like people have said they appreciate that as well.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to find. I mean, you just spend a little bit of time on Strava and it's like everybody is trying to just kill themselves on every run. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, not me. I literally don't care about pace and I only use my GPS watch so that it will remind me of how far I've run. And then, I mean, workouts are different. Like if I have a workout, I have a like actual goal, but like easy runs, like I don't care.
Very cool. So what are some of the things that you're currently working on now? What type of projects, maybe what type of blogs and what type of, you know, really interests that, that you're pursuing right now?
So right now I'm like, I'm still so new to living in this area. And like, I don't know anything about it. I just know that I see a lot of snakes and I see a lot of animals roaming around. Like that's, and it's very hot. Those are like the two things that I know about this area. So I'm like, I'm working on a lot of posts just like about running in the heat, which when I lived on, when I found out about the weather here, I was like, oh, this is a dry heat. Like it will be no big deal. Like I've done humid summers. Like you guys have like dry heat. Like I've got this. I have never struggled with running more than I struggle with it here. Like there's some days, like I can't even go 3 miles without needing like electrolytes or something because it's just so hot and so dry. And when you get out like on the sand dunes, which I sound like I guess I really am in the desert. When you get out on the sand dunes, it's like, it's a lot hotter than the actual, like, the actual phone temperature will read. Like it might say it's 80 degrees, but it's probably closer to 90 or 95. So I'm just working a lot of like heat and summer training posts. And I don't know. I don't have a lot of like big, exciting posts right now. Shoe reviews. I have a few cool ones coming out. The A6, the second carbon plated shoe they have, I have coming out, which I actually like a little better as well. And there's a lot of cool shoes that are coming out, I think, in the next like couple of months.
Yeah. And going back to that heat. So I would imagine, you know, the difference between really high humidity and just a dry heat is that at least in the humidity, you stay sweaty, right? So you stay sweaty and it cools you off a little bit. Whereas where you are, when it's that dry, I would imagine it evaporates off your skin pretty quickly. So you're just sweating a lot.
Yeah, you're totally right. Like I sweat so much, but it never, like I never actually like sweat. It all evaporates and I get home and I'm like so salty. And I've never experienced this. It's like, so it's like you just have, you're like soaked in salt, but you're not like, you're not sweaty at all.
So are you taking like any salt tabs or anything?
I really like this stuff called Drip Drop, which is like, they say it's like a medical grade electrolyte mix. I got it on Amazon and I don't really buy into like that sort of hype, but a few people recommended it. And I really love it. I probably drink like 5 of those a day. They're like little packets. So you just put
it
in. Like,
yeah. I think I've had some of those.
Pretty drip good. Drop.
Yeah.
Never heard of it. I'll have to go look at it. You say Amazon?
Yeah, I never heard of it until like last month. And now I'm like obsessed with it. I tell everyone I know.
Yeah, my parents mentioned it to me the other day. And I was like, yeah, liquid IV type stuff is what they, yeah. So it's pretty good. I used it before my half. It's money. You should check it out.
Good. No, I definitely will. So what are some of your other go-to, I'd say either nutrition, supplements or gear? So if, you know, what do you typically, and I will say like in an average week that when you go running, what are some of your go-tos that you typically have? So what'd you say it was? Drip drop? Drip,
yeah, you got it. Drip drop.
So easy, but so hard to remember right now. So drip drop. So you, on a given week, you're always doing that, but what are some of the other things that it's just part of about, you know, part of your running routine?
So I usually run as early as it's light out. So like 5:30 to 6. I'm trying to get back on that schedule since I've come back, but it's been pretty hard. I'd run in the dark, except there's literal mountain lions that roam this area. So I'm not trying to meet them.
Oh boy.
But let's see, what do I use? The water bottle I use is just called Smart Shake, which sounds really weird, but it's like a spring loaded water bottle. So you can run and it doesn't like slosh around. Or I have like a Nathan hydration pack, but then when you have something on your back, it gets super hot. What kind of things am I using?
Yeah, I mean, we go-to gear. Go ahead. Go ahead. Don't let me run up.
Oh no, you're good. I'm trying to even think. I'm not really like married to a lot of gear. I feel like if it seems cool at the time, like I'm cool with it. I really like running I really like rabbit gear. They just, they fit me pretty well, but I've been doing a lot of like, just, I don't know. I don't have any, I'm not like obsessed with a lot of gear. Like, I just like run in whatever is clean for the day. I'm not like a matchy matchy type of runner.
But rabbit, it fits well. You like the material.
Yeah, it's also really lightweight, which is like imperative for around here. I don't need anything bulky. I like Tifosi sunglasses. Those are awesome. And they have like $25 models because I break everything. Yeah, that's really all that I use. But honestly, it's like what is clean today and like works for me for this run.
What passes the sniff test for me? Exactly. Is it?
Oh no, I'm like a snob. Like I cannot wear anything that hasn't been washed. So I have like this, like I can't wear like dirty anything. Like I need everything washed. And I'm also very lazy with laundry, which means that like I accumulate a lot of laundry and then I'm like, okay, then it like my last day in the rotations, like all the things I hate. And I'm like, okay, now I have to actually do laundry.
So do you run with music or?
Oh yeah. So I run with, I'll listen to podcasts occasionally, but I don't know why. I just like usually can't focus when I listen to podcasts. So I listen to a lot more podcasts when I'm driving or working. But I usually listen to music and, I have Aftershocks headphones, which I like.
What do you listen to when you're, so what music?
Oh gosh. I feel like I listen to a lot of like 2000, like pop and like rap and hip hop music. I feel like I try and like
right reminisce. Up our alley.
Yeah. Like when I was like in college and I'm like, now I'm running to the music. I was like dancing in bars too, which is like, that's how, I don't know. I like, do you guys have Apple Music?
Yep.
They have like playlists and it's like, hits from 2008 and I'm like, perfect. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have like a memory with all of these songs.
Yeah. So we're a little bit older than you. So ours would probably be more like 2001, 2002.
So it's probably classic, like oldies but goodies.
But I'm a big fan of the I Miss Emo station on Apple Music.
Oh my gosh.
Playlist.
Hip-hop like barbecue is a good one. Go ahead.
I don't actually like to like make my own playlist. I just like to mooch off of people who have already created better playlists.
Same. Yeah, the only playlists I really make are like my favorites of a certain artist. Like I have a Dermot Kennedy favorites that is money, but it's usually just my favorite songs from that artist as far as playlists.
That's fair.
Yeah, so we drove up, you know, to Baltimore, and I got to hear the oddest music ever. From bands. I think I've heard of every single group, but you hop in a car on a road trip with Greg and you're like, who the hell are these guys again? Never heard of them.
Yeah. So Kevin got a heavy dose of Dayseeker the entire way to Baltimore.
Oh my gosh.
You ever heard of them?
No.
See, I didn't either, but it's actually not too shabby. It's there's some scream music in there, just kind of heavy metal punk, but
yeah, people ask me all the time, what, you listen to such angry music. I'm like, well, that keeps me from being angry. So it's
my husband says the same thing. I'm like, what are we listening to in the car? I'm a happy person.
Yeah. And it just, yeah, it keeps, it's like a counterintuitive thing. So you listen to this angry music and it keeps you from being angry and wanting to kill people. Yeah.
I'll have to try that technique sometime. Yeah,
talking to someone whose screen or whose handle is fueled by LOLs. So yeah. Where did that come from, by the way?
So I don't know. I'm always like pretty cheerful. I mean, we all have I sound like, oh yeah, I'm always happy. Like we all have our like sad moments in life. And anyone who says they don't is like lying. But I'm like always happy. And then, so I don't know. Someone just called me like lols one time and it just kind of stuck for no real reason at all. I think it was like high school or college or something like that. And then so my like super OG blogging name was Lols That Swim, which sounds so embarrassing now saying, but I used to swim and that's like what it was. And then I was like, well, I don't swim anymore. So like, what is kind of interesting? And since like, it was like 2012 and no one had social media really, I was like, well, Fueled by Lols sounds kind of cool. And then I was like, that's how it happened. And then I just kind of kept it, which is like crazy because I often think like changing my blog to just like my first and last name, Holly Sick, but like I just haven't because it's too much work and I'm lazy.
No, because when you look at it, it's like, I remember when I first thought of that name, because you think I was just, as you were talking, I'm like, man, it reminded me kind of back in the day.
What was your screen name back in the day?
I'm not going to say
it. Oh, yes, no, you are. No, say it.
I'm
say
not going to say it.
Come on, okay, I'll tell you mine.
But like
tell
everybody's yours. MySpace, like everybody's MySpace account back in the day. Just the good old days.
What was your AIM? What was your AIM name?
We're going to continue on with this. So.
I'll tell you mine, but it was like super embarrassing. And my dad was like mortified for me.
Well, what was it?
I made mine, this was high school. I made mine Slow Swimmer Chick because I thought I was really slow at swimming, which I was like 15 maybe. And my dad was like, you should not degrade yourself like that. Like, make your screen name something else. And I was like, Dad, I can't. Like,
it's swimmer. It's just self-deprecating humor, Dad. Chill out.
I'm the same way, though, with my girls.
So mine was GSR, my initials, GSR Romeo.
Ooh.
Not proud of that one. I read the part. Oh,
Romeo, the ladies' man over here.
I had AP literature, and I read the part of Romeo exactly one time and decided that needed to be my my screen name moving forward. And it stayed that way until I partied my way out of college.
That's very fair. Cool.
Very cool.
All right, you're up.
So next question we've got for Holly. Now, do you really want to know? It's like the dumbest.
No, I've only asked you five times and I didn't really want to know.
So I think this was back in, I don't know, like in the gamer days, way back when, and I'm not even, it was Cyborg. It was like the nerdiest handle that you could ever have. And I'm like, Cyborg. And this was circa like 1999.
How have I known you for like 25 years and I never knew that?
That shit doesn't get out. It does it, but now it is.
It is now, buddy.
So anyways, yeah, that was like the nerd back then. But so Holly, we kind of talked about, how you got to this point and some of the neat things that you're working on. But, what does the future hold for you? What are some of the things that you want to see, the blog and everything that you're doing? Like what type of direction are you looking forward to seeing how it goes?
Oh my gosh. That is a loaded question because, as a military family, you cannot plan anything. I don't know. I really like how the newsletter is going. Like I have a newsletter that goes out to like 1500 people or so. And it's like super casual and I connect with a lot more people that way. Like people respond to the email and I don't know, a lot of people don't have the brain power to want to read blogs anymore. Like since I started blogging in 2011 or 12, blogging has really just like, as social media goes up, blogging goes down because people are like, oh, I just want to see like a caption on Instagram and be done with it. Or, oh, I just want to watch a video. Or, oh, I just like want to listen to a podcast. They don't like want to read as much. So I'm kind of, honestly, I'm pretty happy with how the blog is going now and how it evolves with the running industry and whatever happens there. So I don't, the short answer is, I don't know. I've like every year, it seems like I just have this like moment where I'm like, maybe I'll just quit everything. Like, I don't know, like people aren't reading blogs, people aren't reading the newsletter, whatever, but I always like get to connect with people. So I'm pretty happy with how it's going and I'm excited now that well, hopefully now that races are coming back, like being able to connect with people and enjoy more races again, like that's, I've missed that so much, I feel like.
Well, I just recently subscribed to the newsletter, so 1501.
Amazing.
Now we got to get Kevin.
No, I will.
I'm totally not offended if you don't subscribe. That's okay.
I think that's kind of the neat thing with is just being able to, you know, going back to a couple weeks ago, Believe in the Run, just so many people there from so many backgrounds that are pursuing their own passion, and everybody was there. You could just tell to just support one another. Granted, we're there to, you know, to show the appreciation and the support for the Believe in the Run and their team. But, you know, like connecting with you, it's like, yeah, definitely. I want to follow that and support it and watch it grow. And, you know, we had an opportunity to kind of meet a couple people that drove down from Jersey to meet with us. And I think that's kind of the neat thing with the running community as a whole is that no matter if you're a seasoned runner that's, you know, running sub 15 5Ks or if it's your first 5K going out there, it's just everybody's wanting to, you know, just go out and have fun. And I think kind of like the same space with this, with social media, and then, you know, as you mentioned, kind of the attention span of people, how that's kind of changed over the years. But at the end of the day, it's whatever it is, if it's a blog, if it's an Instagram video for posts, it's, or, you know, if it's, you know, these articles that you're putting out there, is any way that we can support in this community. It's like, for sure. Yeah. So it's not that I'd feel like I'm forced to, it's like, no, I definitely want to read it and share that with my friends. And so, but no, really cool.
So Holly, where can people find your, we've talked about it a couple of times, but where can people find your blog and your Instagram?
So I'm just Fueled by Lulz, FueledByLolz. I don't know why I stuttered with that. .com. And then like all my social media, Instagram, Twitter, email, if you want to chat, is all just the same. Because I forget things easily. So if it's all the same, I can remember.
Fair enough. I'm the same way. Well, Holly, thank you so much for your time today. And thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun chatting with you. And
no, this was awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's our pleasure. All right, guys, so that wraps up the show for this week. Thank you all for listening. Thank you to our producer, Eric Hollister, down in Florida, for making us sound good. Guys, please subscribe, give us a thumbs up, give us 5 stars. It really helps a lot. We really appreciate it. You can check us out on social media. We are at Two Dads Run Podcast on Instagram and on Facebook, as well as YouTube. So check us out. And until next week, we'll see you then.